Hello, hello, and welcome to my lovely, inspiring human potential community. To everyone tuning in, before we get started on today's topic, that is in pursuit of those keys to inner growth and following your heart to the life of an entrepreneur and to much more that I talk about, guide about, from the podcast to the blog to other online presences, which are known to those who continuously tune in. Special announcement, Anchor has allowed finally that listener support button, which means the world for everything that I pursue and wanting to share. And for those who are looking to support the inspiring human potential mission, its purpose, and anyone who believes in general in inspiring human potential, because that's one of those amazing things we can do and the online world has brought us to be able and do, connect, support, and together we will achieve that harmony worldwide. So if you wish to contribute because the inner growth process mindset has contributed to your life, or because you believe in inspiring the world through these different means, please do so. Thank you so much for doing so. And as always, you can reach out if you want to collaborate, if you want to share your story, if you have a personal development process mindset, something that can contribute to others in their unlocking of their untapped and limited potential, reach out to me. The blog luna12780.com has my email in the about section. And let's move on to today's topic. As always, the lovely online community has at heart us online entrepreneurs, content creators. We have many different names, but we are all here to inspire human potential in our unique way. And for the Inspiring Human Potential community, we have new podcast patron members only episodes coming this year, because Patreon has started something to support the podcast community, and we're going to use that in a way that expands the inner growth learning material and the ability for you to follow your heart, applying the things that we discuss in our daily Anchor IHP podcast show. So inner growth mindset, lifestyle choices, the journey, the way that you can work through anything that is arising at first as conflict, but that those who tune into any of the material, whether the podcast, the blog, or the website, know that's the opportunity for inner growth and for you to follow your heart. So I look forward to hearing from you all for this first round. It'll be the first year that we have patron members only podcast episodes. With your feedback, I'm sure we will continue to improve and expand all the material that is meant to inspire your higher human potential. I look forward to you joining us. Before we begin today's topic, I would like to share a bit about the foundation of all of the Inspiring Human Potential Inner Growth content. What you learn about and what we discuss has its foundation in a lifelong accumulated research that involves the fields of humanities and social sciences, philosophy, with a focus on existentialism, and recently added basics of neuroscience, physiology, and biology. This research continues, and the wealth of information that I share across different platforms is in the effort to support your inner growth, self-empowerment, conscious living, ascension, awakening, and personal development journey in a way that allows you to understand the distinct human characteristics involved in your day-to-day and overall life, alongside the choices you make, how you feel, and deal with events such as the unknown and unwanted. A simplified breakdown, just to give you an idea, and for the IHP community to keep in mind as you pursue inner growth and self-empowerment, is what is involved in the human's response to day-to-day events and life happening. We have been able to review this, and we always review some aspects throughout the episodes and all the content. One, the body's nervous system's defense mechanism, flight-fight response. Two, the heart's feelings, emotions, ego, self response. Three, the mind's conscious, subconscious, and conscious response alongside the established neural pathways, societal culture and knowledge filters, identity, secondary and primary consciousness aspects. This and more is what is involved as you tune into and read the IHP content, whether it be on the blog, the YouTube channel, patron membership site, or the website itself, or the podcast. You will always get to learn something about how to apply an inner growth mindset and lifestyle approach, how to follow your heart and lead with it, with that unconditional love, neutrality that we so much discuss, why it's important, and all of this allows you to tap into that infinite higher human potential, which is also a response that one acquires as a body, mind, and heart that is one within you with that ownership. If there's anything that becomes clear almost immediately to an inclined, empowered ego and anyone who awakens to becoming themselves, and so even if you're inclined with that society engagement, so looking outside of yourself, acknowledging there's the right for you to be the true self. The true self is that expanded version of you. It's like being a child but a grown-up, and what I mean by that is all of those, you know, when they say dance with your hair down and that feeling of just ecstasy and joy, well, that exists when you're matching the heart and mind of you together, which is possible when you're working with the body of you. So from that cosmic consciousness, using your thinking brain to acknowledge the heart and mind, the thoughts and feelings all in one. And when we start our world as teenagers, yesterday was a very good episode for anybody who didn't tune in. Go ahead and tune in, because it talks about, you know, making compromises with transparency, which takes place when you are in harmony with your heart mind. So we look at that topic from a couple of different aspects. And again, it's always going to be about being yourself, the true self, meaning all of this. So some people, whether it be in the human element realm, which would be all our subject matter experts, or our spiritual realm with other subject matter experts, we are not only one or the other, we are both. And when it comes to day to day, we are very much, each one of us, unique. We have a different way of perceiving things. Now, people that conform, and so they continue to not be completely their true self. And what I mean by that is that you keep on thinking in duality, and so you keep on addressing your own life with the societal ways that you were taught versus with neutrality and unconditional love, recognizing my human elements. For those who are not in that spirituality realm, this is the unknown elements of life. And the spiritual realm, we integrate certain topics, but we don't talk about spirituality, just to be clear. It's that metaphysics and astrology and other subjects, like even me, I'm a Reiki practitioner. Anybody who's new doesn't know that. So I do energy therapy, and it's amazing what takes place in these sessions from afar, because I've specialized in distance healing, Reiki healing. So that energy, they've mapped out that we are energy, that we have this electromagnetic field. We do have these layers of aura, and that's why we integrate these other topics at times, which is really more the terminology, because we are not only, you know, the body with the nervous system and brain, even though what I'm going to say here is this, that actually with the technology we're creating, every one of those topics that is discussed, even tarot, even crystal. Well, crystals already with geologists, they know the properties of rocks. In fact, I have never met a geologist myself, but somebody was like, you know, I'm sure if you met a geologist, they would know why, you know, your crystals, because I have a lot of crystals, they do have properties. So the geologists already know of properties of rocks. And again, it is science. Now, those who, I'm a science person, they're only considering specific subject matters as their truth. And that's fine. This is what we always talk about. Everybody has that. That's the whole point. So back on this topic. So I include verbiage and words from the spirituality concepts because for now, science is just beginning to get that information to us. Quantum physics is that perfect, actually, realm for the whole 5D, 4D, 3D state of consciousness and other ways of talking about it, the vibration and all. But today's topic is on another note, is more related to that day-to-day. However, it's to say to any new listeners is that we talk about a lot of different concepts and subject matters, and it's always connected to us as an individual. The energetic realm is still connected also to the spirituality realm, especially because we welcome all people, and therefore this is integrated on purpose to welcome those in the 4D community, particularly since that is the community that will know when I talk about energy, tarot, Akashic records, Reiki healing, reconnective healing, the crystals, full moons, how planets affect us, the Schumann resonance, even though see the Schumann resonance is studied by our scientists, and how it affects our brains, the ones who go to space, astronauts, thank you, astronauts, the one study I read was where they actually understood the Schumann resonance, which is the heartbeat of the earth, affects our brains, because when astronauts went on first missions, I don't remember if they got depressed, but there is something that happened, and that's when they started realizing that we are still very much and have always been connected to earth. We are part of nature. The difference is that we have secondary consciousness. And so humanity began asking why. And from that why, without the microscope, we began answering, and all of those things can match up when you look without judgment and boxing them. So in that infinite higher human potential space, which is what we tap into through your inner growth mindset journey, and you follow your heart as you become that empowered version of you. And so here you transcend anything that societal construct that society has given you, not because you're denying who you are, but you're actually expanding yourself to know that there's more than just the handful of human elements that you were given, which always will involve body, heart, and mind, because there's a lot of other stuff that I won't repeat for my lovely listeners who hear it all the time, but that implicit memory and explicit memory. So our body memorizes everything we go through, and up till the age of 8, every human being, whether with secure attachment or disorganized, so there's the attachment theory for the lovely new listeners, we have secure, avoidant, ambivalent, and disorganized attachment. I've learned them from a trauma class that I took recently, and I'll probably hear about them again in the other trauma classes that I'm learning about. So our body memorizes, and our brain, the way it develops is that our emotional brain hemisphere is the first to develop from 0 to 2 years of age. So our flight fight is organized, and by 10 to 12 months old, we've established how we're going to interact with other human beings based on how we were interacting, and really how we were being either tended to or not. Okay, so leaving that at that, because today it's about pet peeves, so let's say tangible, right, in those relationships, in the way that you as a person who is choosing to become empowered will be able to transcend pet peeves thanks to the unconditional love and neutrality that you hold, because you start realizing that pet peeves are those likes, dislikes based on your own personal view of what should or shouldn't be, and that's fine. But what an empowered ego does is choose to behave and conduct themselves. They commit to behaving and conducting themselves in the way they would like to see humanity, not in utilizing time to stay in a space of hurt, and therefore simply voice with hurt, anger, upset, whatever of those feelings, not because we're judging the feelings, but it's because those feelings are representative of an insecure ego, because you are reacting with cognitive dissonance, meaning new information, even though it may not be new, but basically somebody's behavior is a threat to your, what you think, what you agree with, disagree with. So your ego is in the forefront, which is natural. Make it an empowered ego and remove yourself from the situation versus staying in that energy, in that emotion, in that situation of then applying to the entire human species your opinion with the hurt, which essentially is only of a group of people, which is why there are still the ego mind and ego spiritual based leaders. It's for those people who choose to justify their feelings of hurt and therefore aggressive behavior towards whatever it is they chose is unjust, unfair, and yada yada, instead of actually committing to share love with humanity and then do business, do work, be proactive. So be life promoting and harmony promoting. So unconditional love and neutrality, it is what type of human do you commit to being? This is the 5D space, by the way, unconditional love and light. Light is about you being able to be neutral from that body, because your nervous system, which the first response of all of our nervous systems is when the ego feels threatened, which will be at any time anything is contradicting something that is a part of your identity. I won't be reading the cognitive dissonance definition, but the community knows that one. It's your flight fight is engaged the minute you start getting upset because somebody else is different than whatever it is that's taken place, okay? The upset is the indication. And so the first nervous system's response, society engagement. And you, in fact, as a human, the tendency is to look outside of you for that approval, which does not mean you're committing to being yourself. Two different things. Committing to be yourself involves how you treat every other human being, how you speak, how you feel, you work with your feelings. This is also you tending to your ego, because otherwise you can't be your true self, because if your ego is insecure, that means it's engaging with society engagement to get either love, approval, all of the different things other individuals will continue to do versus pursue inner growth. So we get to talk about inner growth. Now, yesterday I did not read to you guys the inner growth word of the day, but you know, I don't always. Today, however, I do want to start with that so I don't forget. So, what is a pet peeve? Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines it for us: a frequent subject of complaint. And when I use pet peeve in a sentence here, a pet peeve can impact the situation to whatever extent you allow that pet peeve to affect your emotions and actions. Pet peeve in action: when you find something annoying, be it a habit or a particular behavior or physical trait, that is a pet peeve. Pet peeve in inner growth: when it comes to pet peeves and inner growth, knowing what yours are and realizing that they are personal expectations or desires on others, so how to behave or not behave, what to do or not, or what not to do, and so on, allows you to remember that you manage how these pet peeves affect you, but also that these pet peeves are constructed by you as well, and therefore can be removed and or changed at any time. With this level of awareness and knowledge, inner growth takes place as you explore your pet peeves and decide on where they stand in your day-to-day life and decisions or interactions with others and so on. As those who tune in know, that whole aspect of change, there is that core of you that is always going to be present. As you empower yourself, though, that core stands more and more in the place of neutrality, unconditional love. And so here, today I'm going to use some of those personal experiences. Yesterday I shared with you a couple of them, including when interactions with my twin sister. And one of those relationships that I had where change, the thinking I would change, was one of the comments that had been made. So, how can I break this down? Empowered individuals in that 5D space will resonate with a majority of what I'm about to describe. Those who still have certain aspects of societal engagement, what will come up to the mind will probably be the societal construct knowledge, so ethics, norms, labels, boxes, stigmas, stereotypes, whatever it is, again, just using words to create context here, that is part of what you think is a right or wrong. And so there will be not mixed feelings, but you'll know kind of where you stand. So you won't be in neutrality. Essentially, you'll have a place where you stand a bit more strongly or less. This always depends where you're at with your inner growth journey. If you're more in the empowered space at this point of that ego, you are therefore in the advanced place of the inner growth program where you can feel impartial. This means you're recognizing that you have a preference. And if you're continuing to want to pursue inner growth, this means you're going to work with that emotion and bring neutrality the very instant you begin feeling impartiality. Because you're like, oh, here's my opinion and here's their opinion. And I feel a little bit of the ego, that pull kind of thing. So it's your opinion is what you're feeling. What you feel are the right or wrong things. You're choosing the infinite higher human potential space. You're choosing to really, really, really recognize that all people have their path. And therefore, another person's opinion, no matter what it looks like, you're going to be in neutrality. It's not because you agree or disagree, but it exists. And so in the unknown elements of life, right here is where you also transcend those universal laws and universal concepts, everything that is set in stone, but it's in this invisible space. So technically, yeah, it's set in stone, but there's another 10 different ways people set these things in stone. This is you choosing to be comfortable with the unknown and simply trust in you, meaning it's not something you need an answer for. So it's really more you allowing as a human being for secondary consciousness to say, we don't know the one truth and nothing but the truth. It's okay to feel that. So yesterday we talked about the 99.9% plus the 0.01%, and where I shared there was a minute where I realized there's still a feeling of not flow with what if that 1%, and I worked with that to say let it all be 100%, because otherwise this will always keep me in this space, and this is not going to, it doesn't embody full trust that life is always where it's meant to be. This is where it is a choice to tap into this infinite higher human potential space. It is a choice of not having any of those things that are part of your identity as one truth. It is acknowledging all of these are my truths, and as long as my mind thinks of them in a way, I feel about them in a way, and they will therefore affect that life. And so we try to always include everyone. We know that everybody's in this space, but that's what it looks like. And from the body, heart, and mind, you feel at peace. You don't feel afraid that something can go wrong or not wrong. You recognize if you're afraid or angry, and you know it's part of being a person. It doesn't involve struggle. It doesn't involve the dark night of the soul. It doesn't involve anything, again, in a belief realm at all. It involves the pure acceptance of you from your thinking brain and the feeling brain to be at ease with the invisible place. And to also know that, of course, when the unknown, unexpected, unwanted arises, you dealing with it from within will allow you to go with the flow, but the initial slap is going to cause an initial, you know, something, because it's unknown, unexpected, or unwanted. And so here's where those who think of Zen and enlightenment as not having an emotional response forget that every person, even if they're a fortune teller, so to speak, they will not have that in their life, but they will achieve peace with everything that comes their way because they are at peace with life. Their deep knowing is that nothing is harmful because it ain't physical, right? So fight is only engaged and utilized when we're in danger physically, which means we're running away or fighting for our life. Those individuals in this space are comfortable with other people and differences. They do not get angry or upset, but that doesn't mean, again, if they're dealing with day-to-day, that they don't have emotions involved. when a pet peeve arises. However, as you practice that impartiality, this is why I was giving you that description, you actually don't have a reaction for your pet peeves because you've acknowledged them, they're yours, they're from your ego. They're not representative of every person's belief system, not belief system, and life is not a negative or positive because those things exist. So again, a pet peeve, the definition, just so we are clear, is frequent subject of complaint. If you're complaining, it means it bothers you, okay? And so this is not saying you don't have pet peeves. We never negate any parts of us. This is the whole point. You're accepting you, but you're also accepting the unknown and becoming empowered, which means you're not looking to get upset in a way that says I'm going to complain, because you're simply going to voice in a safe space, even if it's just your mind, the data point. Basically, this is what I don't prefer, and this is what I don't want in my life. And then you're simply choosing, what do I want to do about it? And so yesterday we talked about different relationships with people because we talked about compromises. And so right here, my biggest pet peeve, I don't remember, I need to find my high school yearbook, but I know for sure that one of them is the whole transparency and inconsistency of humanity that became very obvious. And so people to not be able to just be who they are, be genuine, transparent, you know, not create all of the unnecessary layer after layer of situations that are, yeah, they're just unnecessary for a person who can see through one, the masks, but also simple to make a choice. You say you're gonna do something, do it. You don't, otherwise don't say it. This is what it would get me the most. For example, that one boyfriend that I told you guys a little bit about, it was hilarious because they would always say, I'm gonna be here, and the time, never. I would wait for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, like every time we went out, man, and it was never ever any different that I can remember. Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, this is where I definitely learned to stop expecting people to be on time that year, but it was absurd. I was like, dude, not even, you know, half an hour. In the beginning, I would get worried. What happened? Did you, you know, die? Like, what the hell? And the thing is, there are many people in Naples, Italy that have a very different relationship with time. And it's funny because my American family will tease me about being not on time, but you know, we're talking like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, not, you know, half an hour. So I simply learned to not expect people to be on time. And now I actually have to say I'm in a different relationship completely with time, but you know, it's reasonable 15 minutes, half an hour, then you start worrying. In this case, I started learning that even if the person was saying they would be on time, they would never be on time. And so I still would be ready by the time that we had set up to meet, but I didn't expect them to be on time at all. Those, not definitely pet peeve, man, a pet peeve for sure. And so realizing though that it would be a forever thing, that's where you start deciding as a person who chooses to be empowered and to be in an unconditionally loving and neutral place. That's the only way you're going to be empowered, because an ego that continues to do that is an ego that's doing societal engagement. This is why people, when they say their energy is drained, they're really continuing to engage with other people with the same expectations. And they're not realizing that they should not, because that's what being shown to them. The whole part, people don't change. So your pet peeves, they can become basically things you don't hold anymore because you acknowledge just so many times it happens and you're choosing to be neutral towards it. You're choosing not to condemn the person or condemn the situation. We could say that with my sister, for example, every time I adhere to doing a video call, because yesterday I told you guys about that, how she just wants the video call, and for me it's just not, this organizes my day. Anyways, We could consider that a pet peeve, because with her, I will voice the aspect of, you know, at a certain point teasing, but still voice that, you know, it's disrupting my day, and in a way that's funny, just for the new listeners, they don't know that. However, also in a way that says, you know, you're asking this of me, you do realize it. So I don't consider it complaint, but people who might be in a different mindset might, and so this is a good example to use. Except the difference, I'd say, is when you notice if it's complaint or not. So what is a complaint? What kinds of feelings? If you want to pick at the word and only stand the surface, which is what a 3D potential person would do, meaning ignore completely, that the emotional layer, the heart of you, that essence of you matters. And so a person who only judges from the outside will be the one who says that is complaining. The person who's an empath and intuitive, and therefore they live life with the heart and mind, so they're not only looking at a word, but they're actually listening to what you're telling them. So when you say, I'm not complaining, they know that, one, you're not, because they're empaths, but even if they're not, they know that you're speaking of your feelings and you have that ownership. So they won't mansplain you, and they won't say, yes, you are complaining, because this is what you're doing. This is very important for those of you who are in the space of feeling twos. So the depth of a feeling, when somebody tells you, no, you're wrong, basically they come and address whatever is the situation, and they're mansplaining you. I'm sorry, men, for using the term, but it's the easiest way to help somebody understand. Don't allow that to consistently allow that to be your opportunity to transcend the duality and the societal engagement that your nervous system's first response is already doing. Allow that moment of cognitive dissonance, because they're presenting to you an information. It's not a new information, but they're telling you, no, you don't feel this way. No, what you're saying about yourself is untrue, because they're choosing to only look at the outside. And as somebody who only functions from the outside, they just witnessed something that they've labeled and organized according to their perspective, their perception, and according to a way that, again, the world would describe. So if I'm talking about something, like I was giving you the example of my twin sister and I's conversation, I was not complaining, because I tease with her, we tease. And I was presenting yes to her, do you recognize this? But we have our own relationship. So either way, this is where the two people are on the same wavelength, okay? So complaining is what my family would say I'm doing. This is what I'll say right here, because whenever we get on a call, they'll always say that. And I'll say, well, I mean, you guys can consider it that, but I'm simply saying, you guys keep on asking me to get on these video calls, and you know I don't have the time, and you keep on insisting, versus scheduling something with me, which is what I've presented to them more than once. An empowered person knows what I'm talking about when you've presented more than once to the people you love how you can work better. And then, you know, again, people are of habit and people are of their own ego and ways. And so you being disregarded is something you work with, and eventually with love you accept. So I love my family. I'm not going to not pick up the phone, which I know I could do. And I don't not do it, for example, because of rudeness, because it's my family. So it's not about being rude or not rude. That would be in the context of a person. If a person called me, which has happened before, I will pick up, even though it disrupts my day, because I would not want to be rude. Here's where the, again, empowered ego, who knows societal also niceties and doesn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And so you have that empathy, you understand. Unless you're dying, and so you cannot pick up a phone, you cannot adhere to an interaction, a social interaction, you will tend to it. Not because of anything, except for you are knowing that if you don't tend to it, you may hurt somebody's feelings. Plus, if somebody calls you out of the blue, it may be an emergency. So those are those couple of factors here, using again as an example, but because our relationships, again, pet peeves are usually applied in things that you live daily, you know, and that you experience, is not something that it has a name for a reason. It's what a frequent complaint. Again, let's double check that Merriam-Webster dictionary's definition. Hold on, because it's small. Yes, frequent subject of complaint. So back to these experiences in that tangible way, the feeling, what you feel and what you know is the truth of how you feel is what matters more than the other person who's mansplaining you. But this is why it's your opportunity to feel confident. And that means to stay firmly, not about arguing. You're not going to engage in the debate anymore. That's for those who just begin having the empowerment of ego self, those of you who are doing the inner growth mindset journey. And so the beginners of the inner growth program, for example, would be those who may still get upset as people mansplain them. Your journey will lead you to make a proactive choice not to continue investing emotions and energy in that space, because it is not conducive to you becoming unconditionally loving or neutral. It also is not conducive to you growing, because you're simply battling if you stay in that interaction. And now that we know the body element, it is what you're doing. That's the sign engagement. You're doing the nervous system's response. Approve of me. I'm telling you what I feel. Stop negating what I'm telling you. So you are giving them the power to have a definition over you. And here I will read the Eric Fromm quote, because it's actually quite good. Again, sometimes these quotes, they really do come on point. It's good because it explains how to have faith in yourself. So Eric Fromm: unless we have faith in the persistence of ourself, our feeling of identity is threatened, and we become dependent on other people, whose approval then becomes the basis for our feeling of identity. Only the person who has faith in himself is able to be faithful to others, because only they can be sure that they will be the same at a future time as they are today, and therefore that they will feel and act as they now expect to. As you can see, Eric Fromm talks about they will feel and act. So when people have began mansplaining me as a teenager, for example, or even as a child, I never agreed with it. It's like I just learned to shut up and let them say whatever it was, because you can't prove a feeling. And if they're already telling you that you're not that, what are you going to do? And many people, because they're in relationships doing the whole societal engagement and insecure ego dance, they don't really recognize this. So for you guys to transcend these pet peeves with unconditional love and neutrality, it's about your commitment to being in a space of, okay, wait a minute, this person just mansplained me. They just denied that I'm feeling this, that I'm doing this, that I'm thinking this, that everything I just said, they're denying. Does their word matter more on what I just said, or does mine? You're going to choose whose word counts. If you're going to continue to use them as the identity, and therefore you will not be able to commit to your feelings or acts and be consistent, because essentially what you're doing is continuing to allow the feeling of identity for it to depend on others. And this is exactly the societal engagement nervous system's first response, which Eric Fromm doesn't have, but that sociologists talk about with, it's in your DNA to be around people. So those who don't want to be around people are lying. And I always remember this, because the lady was so, this is the one truth, versus expanding and not creating this one truth due to the fact that people don't technically need people to live. They need food and water and air. Now that they do, when we were without our tools, needed each other. Yeah, so it is kind of in our DNA. And again, when we established with attachment theory, when we read it from Wikipedia, what did they say? The infant instinctively knows they need the adult, they need a caregiver to survive, to physiologically survive. And yes, we only have primary consciousness at that state. 0 to 2 years of age, your emotional brain hemisphere is developing. So instinctively, the attachment, it's not because you want to be loved or smothered, or, you know, we don't even have to go down that path. It's an actual the body will feel secure, one, because it's being stimulated every time you cry. There's a whole stuff that goes on, and it's stressed. Plus, if you're getting hungry, it's stressed. If you go poop, right, you need to be cleaned, otherwise you're gonna get a rash, all of these things. So instinctively, in that case, the body knows it needs to be cared for survival. From a physiological standpoint, this then translates to many, many other things. And this is what I love the most about all the science that is coming out, is how much the body does memorize insecurity, meaning I do not feel safe, I feel helpless, and how the shutting off of the emotional body, which is how you can feel empathy for people, is that freeze response creates numbness, creates people using people, because there is no knowledge of what it means to have unconditional love and neutrality. And it totally dismantles anything in the future, because right now it's just still new. Not enough of societal culture has this knowledge bank in their data. And so they're speaking with mythological and biblical meaning, you know, the whole in the unknown elements of life, the one truths, like the sociologists who, instead of expanding, because maybe they don't have in their knowledge bank and didn't at the time, the data point, they're just saying it's in our DNA, which means another human being is going to say it's in your DNA to be a part of people. So if you say you don't need people, you're lying and mansplain somebody who says I don't need people, because that's what people do to each other as they continue to look for each other's approval. So we like to not be in those places, and in fact, anyone who's empowered is not in any of those places at all. If anything, those who come and get your support are the ones who are they're venting, so their pet peeve with whoever it is that's doing that to them. And I giggle, because here's the deal, guys. There comes a time in your inner growth journey where you will realize that the complaint does exist in all of us, because we all have the ego, we all have the insecure part, we all have a default network, until we're beginning to work towards empowerment. Empowerment means not avoidant attachment, where you say I can't depend on people, not say but feel. So you say but you feel, it's actually you feeling instead safe and not in danger. Whether somebody, again, has a mask, not a mask, so people don't represent danger. It doesn't matter what type of behavior. The only true danger is a physical danger, which you don't put yourself in. And so all of these other elements that are labeled, boxed, organized, they become parts of a person that you may or may not find out about, and you're choosing time and time again if you're going to engage your time in that or not. You're not utilizing the upset and staying in it. You're utilizing the experience to say, wait a minute, okay, so what do I want to do about it? And here's where you don't sit in that pet peeve. But if you keep transcending and you move to that unconditional love and neutrality space, this is where you are consistently always able to feel and act with love, even as you're dealing with those situations, because you do acknowledge them as parts of another person's journey and just the other person. That's what unconditional love is. So if they're involved, you're not, again, complaining to them. Doesn't mean they're on the same wavelength. So like I said, my family will use that word and say, yes, but you are complaining. I don't go telling them you're mansplaining me, because that would create, that's what people who still are in the intermediate level of the inner growth program would do, because they're starting an argument. They're starting an argument with a human being who consciously just said, you are doing something that you just told him you're not. So it's more agree to disagree. You begin doing a let's agree to disagree. The person who's pursuing inner growth will grow even further. And at a certain point, you won't even be saying agree to disagree, because the minute an individual begins doing that is the minute you recalibrate based on the input given that relationship. And what does this mean? It means that you know that that person is not in a space of accepting all of you meaning all of the expression of you and how you want to express. They are ready to share with you their opinion on what you're expressing. and they'll keep doing that. And so now you have a knowledge of what to expect from the conversations that will take place with those individuals, like with my family and then with me. The difference is how they will approach their own inner growth, but that's their journey, it's not mine. So in fact, like, they don't always tune in. In fact, I don't know, I think my mother tunes in every now and then to episodes, but we talk about stuff, but they're not part of that mindset, if you will. When we discuss, it goes very differently, but we have lovely conversations. So back to the whole pet peeve, I would definitely say that it's a pet peeve, the family, that, you know, makes it a point every now and then to make me get on these video calls. And at the same time, though, it's understandable from a coexisting human relationship standpoint. So we all do continue to give. Anyone who's in the idea that just because you are empowered, you do not, no, you can give more, in fact, than not. Also, the other difference is you will present transparently what is going on and why. So like I said, when I've explained to them, this is why I complain, as you guys put it, even though I'm not complaining, I'm simply irritated because you're disrupting something important and you're refusing to acknowledge that I am asking you to meet me in this way. The reality is my mother doesn't have an issue with not talking. She's the first one who doesn't want to always be on the phone. And in fact, it's only when we're far, far, far away from each other for a long, long time that, and in fact, this is the first time it's actually happened, that she seeks to have me call her, since it's been longer than what we're used to. Other than that, my mother, in fact, she has had to put up with me when I was in college trying to get her, which is why I learned balance in communication. And if anything, it was really great to be able and get that. Although at the time, I would say I wasn't happy because I missed her a lot. And you know, it was more like I wanted to talk to her, but I get it. She was working. And so here's that beautiful dynamic. When you are, again, in an empowered space, guys, you're never thinking of anyone that's taking from you. So another person might have been in a space of having hurt feelings and holding on. For me, it did hurt feelings, but it's because, of course, of ego. I knew that it was me wanting to talk, but if a person's busy and they can't talk, it has nothing to do with love, which is what others will tend to instead. Right here is where that avoidant attachment begins, where somebody will react to another person saying, I can't talk to you, and I've had the ambivalent attachment person do this over and over again. The, oh, you're not talking to me. So the avoidant is, I can't count on you. It's more firm. It's like, oh, fine, you're not going to meet my expectations, then I'm going to just consider it done. And they accumulate experiences like that where they feel, okay, you can't trust people, you can't count on people. And so this is a distinctive feeling that some of you may understand and relate to. To achieve inner growth, empowerment is about transcending and recognizing your ego, your person, you wanted certain things, they were not met. This does not mean you need to define all humanity and all relationships that way. If you do, well, guess what? Mind over matter. You will continue to experience this. The trauma experts made this very clear when they described to us avoidant attachment, secure attachment, ambivalent attachment, and disorganized attachment. So the ambivalent one is where it's coming in and out, and wanting, not wanting, and no matter what you do, it's never going to meet the expectations. And in fact, the one ambivalent attachment, I'm sorry, I can't meet your expectations. This is incompatible. Because the refusal to acknowledge that there wasn't an ability to talk, not because somebody was less worthy or more worthy, but because there is an inability to talk, and it had nothing to do with love or not love, with the relationship. It's a friendship relationship. And the repeat pattern just got to the point where the one conversation, basically, here's when you do love and acknowledge respect for yourself, your person, you, and things are said in a specific way that show the lack of equilibrium that all relationships hold, meaning there is not one person, there are two, and both people's needs must be met for something to be harmonious in any way, shape, or form. Bringing it back to that family, here's where it is met. It's met in, we don't always talk. We talk once every blue moon. And so when I'm teasing my twin sister about the video, it's once in a blue moon. And even though they don't meet the let's schedule, because this is what was told to me by my twin, but I'm spontaneous. That's her way. My mother simply accepts and then will every now and then come out of the blue and just, you know, contact me, but in a less impactful way, meaning she'll just say, hey, send me a voice note, you know, so I can hear you, or okay, can you get on a call. So she still works with me more than my twin sister does, who simply is now started to say, I want to do a video call, do you have time? And so at least the time, place, right? That's the beauty of the meeting of the minds. It's not perfection, but perfection is in imperfection, and unconditional love and neutrality does not seek to stay. So see, right here, the pet peeves are transcended. Now back to that part of, if somebody's telling you how you feel, or disregarding how you're telling them you're feeling, so this complaint thing, like I said, others will have different opinions because they will stick to that word and the definition of the word. And so to them, if somebody is voicing their concern, they're complaining. And this is where I differ, because I know the feeling of a complaint. I remember when I would complain, and it's not complaining, but it is something that brings an annoyance, because it disrupts a specific schedule. So it's disrupting my personal day. Right here is where the individual who has still an inclination with society engagement will consider that to be what all relationships are. The empowered ego will not consider that to be what all relationships are, because they will not have those relationships in those ways. They will have the ones where, again, you're teasing, you're engaging with each other's traits, those virtues and vices, in a loving way. Very specific, because this is the dynamic of when you're able to be yourself and others are able to be themselves, and you are transcending pet peeves. So you're not complaining to them, you're not upset at them. This does not hurt the relationship in any way, shape, or form, meaning it does not make one or the other or more parties feel they cannot express. With the particular falling out, this is a very good example. This is where, for me, that's why I said this is incompatible. I will not meet ever your demands. My expression is what came into play, and I'll give you a very good example in a minute, as the conversation continued, because it began where they presented the hurt, which I knew, because at this point it becomes standard practice every year for this to happen at least once, and particularly in moments of high stress, and for those of you in the 5D, ascension. So planet going through stuff, very specific. I already knew. I would always know, okay, here we go, because of knowing what's taking place on a big picture level for all of us, and knowing the individual. Individuals are not hard to understand, because individuals, that default network was established again at 10 months old, 12 months old. Most of people function with society engagement, so they do stay within patterns that are very clear. The only ones that mask more, guys, and this is for all of you empaths, they will be the ones who were more hurt than others, meaning they're not insecure attachment or avoidant attachment, the disorganized attachment, essentially. There's traits. It doesn't have to be completely, but there are traits that in their personality somehow get so masked, so they're so afraid of being hurt that they're able to mask it. I've had a couple of situations where I can say for sure I eventually realized that layer And it took a while. It took a while. It took different interactions and different words and different everything. And it was so subtle. That was very fascinating, the few times it's happened, because and this is for the 5D empaths to be specific, because the 4D empaths are still thinking of justice, injustice. You want to transcend that. If you transcend that, you'll be able to pick up things because you're allowing time to unfold, because you're not judging any person, you're not disengaging from the relationships, you're actually that light worker. You can be that because your nervous system is not engaged in societal engagement. You're an empowered ego. You're not in that relationship because of a need or not a need. You're choosing to be around that person, with those people, whoever it is, whatever the situation. You are in that space because you know it's part of your journey. It's a very safe feeling. You're not judging their behavior and or anything, okay? Very distinct. That's the only way you're going to pick up on things in time, because you're actually allowing time to unfold. And this is because you don't doubt your feelings. Back to the whole, if you allow people to keep leaving you in a space where maybe they're right, you're going to not pursue an empowered ego. You can pursue inner growth. You ain't pursuing the empowered ego. You're not allowing your body, heart, and mind to say, nope, we are good. That person has their opinion. It's fine. I know where it comes from. The word pet peeve, the word complaint, all of these things are part of societal construct. These people function with societal engagement. They're looking outside. The world tells them it's black and white. It's black and white. That's it. They're only on the surface. If they were not, they would know instinctively. Any empowered ego I ever deal with knows exactly when genuine is genuine, because the person's feeling and speaking their truth, because they're not stuck on the definition and the externals way of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They're not closed-minded. They're not doing the cognitive dissonance dance. They will get emotional about things that matter. They know that. They know that those are their passions. And in fact, those who are pursuing inner growth will continue to claim empowerment and heal the insecure aspects and become the leader in those specific areas that touch their heart that deeply. So the example that I wanted to give of this threshold that took place, and the it's about suffocating. I've shared it at least a couple times with you. Each one of us has a way that we feel expressed in our relationships. And forever, for me, it is about unconditional love and neutrality. Me being able to be myself and others as well. And not only halfway. So, realizing majority of people aren't able to because of vulnerability was what allowed me not to be an avoidant attachment, because I recognized the insecure ego. The unwillingness to take off the mask is because the person doesn't want to be hurt, because they think of things, expectations, relationships in specific ways, not with unconditional love and neutrality. So they continue to accumulate disappointment, baggage, use whatever word you want. Essentially, it's your expectations on other human beings. And yes, societal construct, in fact, continues to talk about it in that way. Societal knowledge, societal construct developed a lot of different criteria that people follow. As long as people are following that, that's where they will be, not only, you know, on the surface saying it's a complaint, they also feel it that way. That's not the community I'm talking to. I'm talking to people who are inclined towards that empowered ego. So when that's the case, you have a very distinct feeling when you're expressing who you are, truly, completely, all of you. This includes what type of relationships you want. And for me, I've never been one to hold anyone by force, nor should anyone ever hold me. Well, they would not be able to, but the point is to be forceful and impose on me. And one of those areas, and really all of those areas, has everything to do with, if you want to share something about your life with you, with me, I'm honored. I'm honored, grateful. I love that we can share. If I want to share something with you, I will. And if I don't want to, I don't have to. Because because it's my information and it's my life. And I particularly began having this because people would mansplain my feelings or my life, or judge people in my life that I love, and do a lot of things that was not the point of sharing, you know, experiences. Also, I noticed people didn't really want to hear what you had to say as a teenager. Again, they wanted to share their drama, so to speak, their feelings, but when it came to you sharing, they didn't. And I realized this because they would always, you know, people would complain about the friends that would be talking to them and sharing something. And it's like, wait, so if you're complaining about them, then you don't want to hear what I, you know, the thing about being consistent when you are that, and then most people will feel the same way about these topics, by the way. The thing is, they don't recognize when they've done something similar. Meaning to take a minute and say, did I do this to somebody else? Which for me began as I began interacting again as a teenager and choosing independently to continue being consistent in unconditional love and neutrality and being myself versus what others were doing, which seemed to be the same thing and simply in different ways. When it would be, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was just the same drama over and over again. And so I disengaged from it. I was busy with school, getting ready to go to college, and doing all the things that I set out to do. The part of the avoidant was clear because it was like, wait, but I don't need to be, you know, afraid or hurt or any of that, because these are all people who have gone through stuff. Their ego is insecure, you know. It was natural for me to understand psychology and then know they're growing up as well. Now that I'm an adult, I see that there are a lot of people that are in the same place they were before, but I have also a lot of more knowledge about that ego self with the body element. So this aspect of vulnerability is very important, because the mask of every person is not because of wanting to lie, cheat, steal, or whatever, even if that would be one of the things they could do. It's defending their emotions, it's defending their heart, it's defending who they are. And the more somebody is actually an actual cheater, liar, stealer, the more they were in a bad emotional environment growing up, meaning they didn't have secure attachment, they had something inconsistent from the very get-go. And so their body does not feel safe, does not know what safety feels like, so their empathy, their emotional body shut down. They most likely are in detachment, freeze response. And we've talked about the average household that can be very much, or again, psychiatrists share with us that information. So keeping all of these things in mind, the person began with one, an attack. You're not talking to me because you don't want me around because I'm negative. So they were in that moment of when they're basically seeking to be loved, but they're thinking of themselves also negatively. And this is why it's totally avoidant. No, I mean ambivalent, excuse me. The extreme and the duality of it all is so clear now once that was explained. But I immediately reassured, as I usually would, like, you know my schedule, you know that this is something that I can't do all the time, it has nothing to do with you. They attacked again by stating personal experiences with other friends, and they twisted again the words. So any empath, and again, most people are, we all have mirror neurons. When manipulation, quote unquote, because it ain't manipulation, when you know, and all souls know, all hearts know, if you choose to adhere, again, I understand there are differences, but I'm talking once empowered egos, and those who are not empowered yet, that means they're in that situation so that they may learn. There's plenty of support out there that's ready to help people to learn how to be empowered and recognize these traits in the most unconsciously loving way, so to allow their mind to know you do know what's spot on. This is why trusting your feelings is important, but so is not reacting, because you need to first gather very well where you're at, you emotionally, because again, by 10 months old, you've organized how you're going to engage with others depending on what you had. So the individual used words in a specific way and used those words applied to a personal experience that had nothing to do with them, at which point I address and say, you have this mistaken. I never spoke those words. You know me. Therefore, you should know that I do not have this opinion about negative, positive energy. So moving on, and that right here, anybody who's in the 5D space, you know that when an ego is insecure, they are actually looking for the engagement. That is their sense of security. It is whatever was established at the household. This is their way of being loved. And it is not that they're thinking of it that way or with the word love, but again, it's their sense of the body. Let's put it this way, the implicit memory, the body is used to that. That's their secure environment. That's their dynamic. Again, 10 months old, just remember this, okay? They are not doing from the subconscious. They may have understanding. This person knew they had, and they know they have certain things, but from the body, they never explored the body element this way that we talk about. And none of their psychiatrists apparently has the neuroscience foundation. Otherwise, they would have talked to them about attachment theory and they would have came up immediately with, oh, wait, you're ambivalent attachment. Let's work on your implicit memory and see to unlock what happened as an infant and child. And they would have been able to help them for sure, even though it would take the time because the person's very much disengaged from acknowledging equality between people when hurt happens. And so it's either they have to be at fault or the other has to be at fault, but they've never accepted to be neutral and unconditionally loving towards themselves and others, which is another factor that is very important to keep in mind. So we go from here to then them expressing something else. Well, if all of my friends were this way, then I would never have people around. And so it's me, right? But again, knowing that they're in need is when the empowered ego is not engaging with hurt. Because this is for those who are in an intermediate level of the inner growth program, you may be inclined to be engaged in arguing. And that's a side engagement. And that's why you still are drained if you're doing that, because you're actually interacting with the hurt ego and you're yourself volatile with it because you're trying to say, no, believe me in your heart and mind. Here's where I'm not doing that because I know what I'm saying. I believe and know my heart loves the person. What's been done has not been done in any way, shape or form in what they're presenting. And I know that that's their insecurity, not mine. All through and through, there is not one part of me that has not even an inch of doubt in any way, shape or form. So when you're in this space, you're not engaging and will not even be inclined to that, and you're not in any space of defensiveness whatsoever because you know all that's taking place. And so this individual though is not being satisfied to what they're needing in this moment, because the ego, I know it sounds for those who have healthy love relationships contorted, but it's not for the person who does not have secure attachment. It's really their body is screaming it. And see, now I know it's like a whole body mechanism. The body memorized that. That's their way of taking back and not feeling helpless. So they add this other comment about what their needs are. Then they pull a, what is it called? When somebody does something really mean, like there's a word, it's not coming to me, but where they basically say something to try and hurt you. It's really something important to you. It's a shot, something shot. Damn, I can't remember it. But yeah, it's when somebody, it's a really low blow, right? I think that is a good one. It's like you really like doing something because you know. So she knew exactly what she was about. Even though, again, it's not conscious. I don't feel it's conscious, particularly because the individual, if they're conscious, they eventually apologize. If they're unconscious, they do not apologize. It almost came to me as sweet shop. Why can't I think of it? Anyways, it was really a low blow. So anyways, they're doing that, and I basically said, yep, you know what? You're actually right. That's exactly why this is happening, because they were trying to upset me. And since that didn't work, at that point, I forget all of it because it's such a while ago at this point. But at that point, they saw that they couldn't get me to get angry and upset, which is what they were really trying to get me to do. Because when you have the mixed feelings with your sense of self, because there is not a sense of self that was said, you're lovable, you're good, it's okay. But there were mixed emotions. And so that sense of self was not developed as the brain trauma experts shared with us, the neuroscientists, remember? The sense of self is fragmented. So they, part of them hates themselves, part of them loves themselves, which is why they're interacting with an individual that they love and that loves them, wanting both. They really don't stand in a place of self-love completely. And so this is where, though, an unconditionally loving person in this is never going to do something mean and hurtful, because you're not judging them, guys. So they said some other stuff. This is what they said at a certain point. You don't tell me your stuff anymore, or you don't share with me your stuff. And I'm like, I don't have to share with you stuff. This is not what a friendship is to me. Then they come back and say, no, but I'm not that person that imposes. So again, they're twisting everything to meet what they're wanting, emotionally speaking, because they're not in a place of love right then and there. However, they crossed more than one line. Me, 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 me. And again, this is very clear now when I understood what ambivalent attachment is, of that excess way of wanting and a person never being able to meet that expectation because it's so exaggerated from one end to another. And so, long story short, guys, my expression, energetically, emotionally, mentally, this does not work. This is not working, because in any relationship, there is no imposition. The one pet peeve, no, you don't impose, I don't impose. We can either accept or we don't. We don't need to have each other. So if there's anything that I will say will be determining factor for all those who are empowered, and I know because of the empowered egos that I do know, it is the respect of their space. They are not in a place of feeling upset at making a decision. They don't even call it healthy boundaries, because they don't need healthy boundaries, meaning they know that love is unconditional for themselves and another. They understand how humanity is vulnerable on an equal level. And so right here is where the me, 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 me doesn't work, when that is becoming something that doesn't allow the complete expression of you in whatever your choices are of relationships and how you deal with them. So some people, for them, relationships are about sharing everything and anything, okay? That's their relation, their way. Some people, they have relationships and consider them important only if the people are jealous with each other, whether it be couple or friendships. To me, with the knowledge of ego, you guys know this, that's definitely something they will want to look at, but it's not mine to say. As long as those individuals feel at ease, that's exactly the relationships that they're meant to be in. So this is the point. Now, when somebody is, again, mansplaining your feelings, you're having the opportunity to become empowered and then to start choosing. Again, based on proactive measures, unconditional love and neutrality allows you to transcend the pet peeve, because you begin truly accepting the people that are around you with their virtues and vices. And so you're not getting upset. You're not complaining. Others may continue to, those who are in that 3D place or in the facade, okay? And those are the individuals you will either disengage from completely or continue to accept that that's simply how they're always going to define it. You're not going to need to prove right or wrong. That's an empowered ego. That's also the part that the pet peeve is not impacting your life at all anymore. You've transcended it, because it doesn't mean anything. It means something to you, but you have the people, again, with what they are, who they are, in the way that works with you. there's nothing that doesn't work with you feeling that you can express. Like with my family dynamic, when I'm sharing with you that we get into these little spit spats, my twin sister and I, or even my family, it's loving. It's with the knowledge that we have different opinions. And so even if they're saying, yes, you are complaining, that's where the empowered ego again knows that they're not. It's not a truth to you. It's not a truth to you. What other people tell you about what you're feeling, what you're thinking, it is not a truth. I have another perfect example. Another friend who keeps on, anytime we go out, not now, but when we did and when we do, saying things about why I'm doing things without realizing that they're basically, again, attributing traits to me that are theirs that are not mine. But I know that they're doing that because they want to mirror. When we can relate to each other, the mirror neurons, one of the things that scientists find is that when people really love each other, they're good together, like there's a complete vibe, that mirror, they start imitating movements in a conversation. Try it when you're conversing with somebody. If there's a matching and an enjoyment, doesn't mean that if it's not, there's not, but like complete resonate vibe, but your tribe. And I've tested this as a teenager. Once I found this information, I was like, I'm going to test it out. And every time it was true, when there was a matching of the minds, the person would imitate I would put my hand on my face and they'd put their hand and then scratch their face. So there's a mirroring because we can see each other already. And then if we're matching that vibe, we'll also have that. So I get it, insecure ego and people that are navigating life with society engagement in the forefront versus taking their ego and empowering themselves, they will look up to each other and continue to do certain things, like take somebody's whatever they're doing and say, oh, you shouldn't do this, oh, you should do that. And they'll keep on wanting to share something that is theirs because they love, because they care. It's not egotistical in the way of taking. It's in the sense that their ego is involved, their opinion is involved, and they're ignoring aspects that are yours. And so right here is where I've more than once said, I'm not worried, I'm fine, I'm not agitated, I'm not in this space, I'm just catering, because it's about catering to guests in the way that I like to cater to guests. And so when you're usually engaging with people, it takes only, for me, it's usually three, because in three interactions, I've repeated myself extensively and tried to explain it, and a person still doesn't pick up, and we are consistently having interactions, then that means they're refusing to see what I'm saying. It's like my family with the whole schedule. They've told me we disagree. They disagree with having to feel it's an anomaly to have to schedule time with me. And this is where most people, unless they're my online marketing and online entrepreneur friends, will be in that space. Or if it's an empowered individual, then they'll understand too. Other than that, the other people do not. They do not understand that I need that to allow my day to day and week to work. They will think it's exaggerated. In fact, they've said so. It's hilarious because that's mansplaining. And it is on the second layer because it's in the invisible layer. They're not in your day-to-day, right? So for anybody to say, oh, that's exaggerated, they're basically saying they know what your day's like. They have no idea what your day's like. I remember there are people that think and thought probably, now that I think about that, I didn't have always busy when I was trying to say I have a lot of things to do. I'm actually making time for this. Like it wasn't in a way to try and make them feel, it was actually I was trying to say I'm making time. Like I don't have this time. I literally don't. Those who are empowered and or listening, knowing that you know what you're saying about your life, are the ones who won't contest when you're explaining to them how your day works and what your needs are, not are. So it's another one of those pet peeves. But see, we could bring them all down to commonalities of the human ego, because it's as a teenager that this was clear. The inconsistency of individuals to listen to each other, to share with each other, to be there for each other, and to commit to their lives, like day-to-day lives, to stop mansplaining each other. Everything never went to any place different. And as an adult, the only reason now there's a difference is because once you get busy with life, people have their day-to-day routine. In fact, if anything, like example, the one person that was in that year, whatever, you know, when they did the discussions, it was always because they were on an off time, not working. And still to this day, there are people that as I'm working will come and not think twice or thrice or fourth, you know, again. And the thing is, again, when you're empowered, you choose when to interact or not. You're not engaging because of society engagement. You don't engage with people out of need. This also means you do not feel that need to engage. You know that time will come. There's neutrality and unconditional love to yourself, knowing that your day comes first, and if it's not an emergency, this is why when I was saying to you guys, if it's a call out of the blue, I will pick up, because I always think if it's out of the blue, it must be an emergency. And a couple times I've done that, it was not an emergency, but I still will always pick up, because I will always pick up just in case it is an emergency. And also to not be rude to people that I care about. However, 90% of the time, it's in complete disregard for what they know that my day-to-day is. But the aspect of accepting that people don't hear has been presented to me time and time again since I was a teenager. So it is 41 now. That's why when I tell you guys people don't change, it's really for the ones who are on the cusp of being able to start impartiality in the advanced place of the Inner Growth Program, because essentially humanity, that societal engagement is what leads people want to help people. This is what studies and science find. People aren't wanting to be mean to people. Those who are in the quote-unquote mean category have been abused, neglected. They are disorganized attachment or ambivalent attachment. Their nervous system, their body, their everything is in a space of helplessness and insecurity. And yes, it manifests in the way we know, and we will continue exploring those aspects in the future and together, and trying to support all of the people in the world. But to stay on point, this whole mean thing, the individuals in this category, they need more help than not. The others, which are in the average, are simply egos that continue to function from their own way of wanting things, desiring things, and they're doing societal engagement. So they have a group that has said what you're saying is right. This is the human elements and the unknown of life elements. This is where those ego mind and ego spiritual based leaders, they have their truths, and they have the group that supports every time they get into specific dynamics. The thing is, people want to help people. So anytime another ego wants, there is that vulnerability exchange. And they all both also have the masks, because they're all both also protecting. So this is that average, the mask. The mask does the same thing over and over again. And they're all really trying to help each other. The thing is, when there's hurt, none of the different groups are recognizing it, because they got all their stigmas, labels, pet peeves in that area. And they're mansplaining each other. They're not listening. To truly listen to somebody means you acknowledge what they speak, how they speak it, what they feel. You do not second guess it. You do not doubt it. If you want explanation, you ask them to expand on it. You do so with a trust, meaning you acknowledge that people can quote unquote lie to you. It is none of your business. If they're lying to you, what is your business is, do you want to engage or not? That is where you build relationships or not. And many people have different ways of instead having expectations involved and not acknowledging, therefore, the other party. So like the one, and I said to them, I'm incompatible with you. You're not, I can't meet your wants. And they even disagreed with that. But this is the part. I cannot meet what you're wanting. I cannot answer you when you want me to talk. I will not be here because I do not have the time. It is mathematical. It is not a subjective choice of the matter. There's no way to meet the demand that's being asked. by the individual, not to mention the demand of information that is mine, not theirs. Do not impose yourself on me in any way, shape, or form. This is, for example, all of the people in that empowered space. Definitely, I say that's what keeps them, the empowered, it keeps them away from people. And it keeps them very much present when interacting, because again, you pick up immediately on needs, and the tendency for the human is to, once you fulfill a need, to come seeking it, because if they're needing it, they're needing it, which is why the engagement is always going to be matching the place. But the empowered ego is in 5D, unconditional love, light, neutrality. You guys can give and give. The one who has still society engagement is the one who still gets drained and upset and or feels a lot of the different feelings. My supportive words here are to always remember that when that is happening, you want to take a step back. You want to evaluate, why are you in this space of with that pet peeve, judging the person? One, to remove that immediately, because that's causing you to be in a battle already. But two, it's showing you that there's an incompatibility. So evaluate what you just realized you're not liking or approving of. And this is where you firmly make a choice. If you don't like it, you either disengage. If you want instead to keep the relationship, then you look for a way to bring harmony, because that's a data point. That's that person's trait. It means accept it and learn to be neutral. It's not about loving it. When my family calls me, I love them to death. I could argue with them, yell at them. It doesn't matter. They're my family. I will, you know, this is that place. Any relationship that is in that place is what you're going to keep anyways. The other ones you won't. But the feeling is very distinctive of when that is not something. And it's because you begin feeling like you are pressing me. It means your energy is feeling consistently not expressed, not happy, not energetic. And in this case, yeah, it was like, dude, not only do I have to deal with you every so often, but now you've went this far to actually do things, not in one, not in two, not like insisting beyond a shadow of a doubt, and in the most, you know, again, not positive way, because first you accuse me, then you try and utilize other personal stories, then you claim that I need to do things for you, but then you want to claim that I don't need to do things for you because you're not imposing yourself, and yet I'm having this whole discussion with you right now about a phone call or phone calls that can't be made. Then the cheap shot, that's what it is. Then you do the cheap shot. Wow, that, I'm not sharing it because it's really personal, but when they did that, man, that was like, okay. But that's why, because I did not react with the cheap shot, the maliciousness of that, they then went further, and this is where they imposed on my space personally and said, but you don't do this. And then they defended themselves again by saying, no, but I'm not imposing on you anything. I'm exchanging opinions, which is what their belief is. That is their belief, that they were exchanging an opinion that was not an exchange of opinions. Saying to somebody, but you don't tell me your stuff. That's not an opinion. That's actually a statement. So I said, let us agree to disagree. And then I said, we are not compatible. I cannot meet what you want, which they disagreed with again. There's no reason for you to not be able to express with love, but this is up to you. Because if you start engaging with hurt, that's where. For me, it's never been hard, because cheap shots, manipulation, very clear. Very clear from the self of the person. It is a hurt ego. It's an insecure ego. And it presents itself in an untrue way, because the heart of me, I do know it. And I know what words I speak. When you're embodying, you guys, this is what empowerment is. You know what you're speaking. You know what you're feeling. And anybody who tries something, you say, excuse me, no, hold on. Now, the intermediate is where you still say, excuse me, no, hold on. The advanced is you don't say, excuse me, no, hold on. You do not engage because you're not doing suicide engagement. You're following your heart. Your heart knows you're not doing whatever that person's speaking. They can keep on trying to break, quote unquote. They're not even trying to break you. They're just trying to relive some experience that they don't even know. Okay, this is where it gets to the whole, remember this. As long as you keep staying on that intermediate level and actually getting all angry, all you're engaging in that. You're not reconfirming to you, I know me, so you, that you know your heart, that you know you, and that you know what's going on. The individuals that at the end of the day are trying and or try in general to instigate, they're not trying, guys. These are insecure egos that have an established pattern that was established for many reasons that they know and we could evaluate to the end of the days, but today I have to go shortly. Remembering that if they are being malicious, manipulative, all of those traits, for example, in the whole narcissistic, and you know, one, don't ever engage in anything that you obviously, you know, keep away from harms, but talking about tendencies of egos right now, okay, that average thing, not the other stuff. The other stuff is no, you call the police, you get out of any situation that is dangerous. But those traits that are very visible that people always talk about, when any individual is doing that, they are a person who is trying to reenact a very specific scenario where they were not tended to. They do not know secure attachment. They do not know unconditional love. They do not know neutrality. The point is, it's your opportunity to, one, disengage from it completely. You don't have to be around it. Two, if you keep on engaging, you're not pursuing inner growth and you're actually engaging in the hurt. So to think of them as masterminds. So when people hear the word manipulation, which is why I don't use it, meaning I use it to express the concept, but it doesn't exist to me. Those people, they have the opportunity to learn something between each other. And again, we're talking average, not abusive. Abusive, and we've talked about the one psychologist who had a patient who returned to, after years of therapy where they made improvement, they returned to an abusive husband. Okay, so we're here to talk about neutrality and topics that say, okay, acknowledge, how do you feel? Is this something you really think you should be in? Or is this something that is a pattern that comes from? And how about we work together to get you to a healthy place with yourself and all of your relationships? Not because they're all like peace and love, but the healthy is that you can express. You feel, I am myself with the vices and the virtues. There are a lot of those. The ones who are not in this place, they need more of our help than not to talk about these topics with neutrality. So the narcissistic tendencies to say, look, that's an insecure ego. You may use the word manipulation, but if you know it's going on, it's not manipulation. What you need to do here is trust your gut, trust your heart, meaning trust in you, not trust in your gut because you're judging and casting the stone. This is where people get distracted. No, when I say trust your gut, I'm saying if you know your heart and you know that you didn't do that thing the way they're telling you, then disengage and move to the advanced place of the inner growth program and start doing this impartiality dance. At this point, you'll be able to present, like I did within my conversation, the cheap shot, everything that was told to me. Not one got a reaction because there is not one area that I was insecure about, because my heart is in a place of love with this person, not in a place of I don't love you, I don't want to talk to you, and any of this stuff. And all of the things they threw at me, because I know what an insecure ego is, that's what they're doing. It is nothing new. People do it all the time. It's nothing new. It's a technique that isn't about a mastermind. It's an insecure ego. Remember that, and you will be able to transcend the pet peeve, because you will stop thinking of this in that I'm fighting for justice way, which is where people get trapped in these cycles of sorts. You're not fighting for justice. You're actually continuing to help somebody relive a helpless experience, essentially. And really, you're putting yourself in that situation again and again. Get out of it. Remove them. them, stop talking to them, block them, whatever. Like, you got so many options. The disengaging with love, though, is where you're going to actually be able to, one, for those relationships where love and everything can continue to keep on having, you know, relationships, because you get to know them and you get to actually support their growth. So many people, they grow a lot. We grow alongside each other. They still have insecure egos, but they're growing. So the whole idea of somebody being able to manipulate, again, if you're aware, they're not manipulating, are they? The next place is realizing that's an insecure ego. And as long as you're judging it as bad or good is why you get angry. The minute you say, wait a minute, that's insecure, how do I want to behave? And again, it's about trusting your gut and your heart. I know what I did, I know why I did it. There's one instance, and I can't talk a lot about it, but I know that on the surface, on the outside, society would totally judge this thing. Totally the way that the person reacted, totally. Which is the only reason why I definitely can understand the aggression, the anger and the upset. And I don't think this person and I will ever speak again. I don't know. They might change their mind. But what I do know is my heart. And that's the part where the person should have known, if they were a true friend, which they obviously didn't, the minute they stopped and simply judged and cast that stone. They're a 3D person for sure. And they will remain that as long as there's not one hint of, hey, you want to talk about that time way back when? From them, not me, because I can't prove my heart. We've talked about this. None of us can. And so if any relationship, that's the case, you will never prove to them something they can't see. They've already told you they don't trust in you. They don't trust in your intent. They don't trust in your heart. This is not something you could ever prove. That's so you trusting your gut is about you remembering. If you know that you did not intend to do whatever somebody's saying, you know. And your next step is to disengage from those relationships, or to try and, with love, address it and see what can happen. And that's where I'll leave it for now. But love, unconditional love, and neutrality will always help you to pursue inner growth. They will always help you to evaluate any pet peeve in a way that transcends them, so that you can grow, become empowered, work out the differences, and when they really don't work out, you know, you're not gonna have them keep moving forward. And it will usually, again, naturally happen, because they're no longer that 5-year tribe, because you're not growing with them and they're not either. They continue to need those types of relationships to keep on being able to choose the opportunity to love and to do things. Those in the 4D and 5D space, you guys know about the Soul Age article, I read it to you. But at the end of the day, even if we break it down to ego and that part of societal engagement, it's the same idea. People need each other in the way that they can learn. So the need is an actual need that those who continue to use societal engagement do need, between egos, their insecure egos. They're fulfilling something. And as long as those emotions keep on interacting, that's what's going to happen. So that's their growth. For us, our growth is the infinite space. It's the unconditional love and neutrality space. It's being able to be a community here and talk about everything and anything, and even about going through pet peeves and maybe something very, you know, you guys have us for anybody who needs something at any time. We will plan events eventually once we have a good solidified community. My plan is for us to come together and share, you know, if you're dealing with something that I explained, and to say, okay, let's use neutrality, because that's the hard part to find for those who are actually empowered egos or inclined to be there in that 5D space. And it's an amazing space to be able to love all humans and to love all interactions, and know that really they're all there giving us the opportunity to love each other, understand each other, and just allow each other to feel, you can be yourself, because that's all everybody wants. So looking forward to hearing your thoughts and experiences. Calling in on Anchor, leave a voice message, and you can also always email me. You find the email in the about section of the blog, luna12780.com, and on the website, inspiringhumanpotential.com. Have a great day. Sending you all lots of love, hugs, and smiles.